maybe during, I think often during Christmas holidays and sometimes spring break or the summer.
Right.
It depends. So I would say about roughly twice a year. And then since COVID, they haven't seen each other physically. So it's more of like a telephone relationship for now, and like a FaceTime sort of deal.
Okay. And how did that affect you? Like, at what point in your parenting did you become a single parent? And then, like, how did that affect you moving forward?
So it happened pretty, it happened about, okay, we got together when I was 19, got my first daughter 23, gave birth by, and then when I was 29, my daughter at 23, my son at 26. And when I turned 29, towards the end of the year, we separated.
Okay.
So 10 years ago, we separated. So I've been single for 10 years. And so at first it was a shock.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a shock because just the way things happened, there was like a huge, often describe it as an explosion,
right?
Because that's how it felt. So it was a pretty rough situation, I'll say.
Okay.
And I talk about it openly on my channel, but I might not go into deep details, but it was like a domestic violence case. So we split up, and then the authorities got involved. It became really big, right?
Wow.
It was a huge thing. And so I always believed or always noticed that the children had been impacted based on that as well, right?
Okay.
Because when you go through that, you're awakened. It's no, there's not much sugar coating there.
Right.
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 It's that the situation is what it is. So it was a very like, the talking points about the breakup, like the explanation came after the actual breakup. Right.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that it just happened all of a sudden. Like it's one morning things exploded. And from then on, it was separation.
It was like,
as opposed to some parents having the discussion, maybe talking to their children a month or 2 months ahead of time, saying, listen, we're going through a situation. You know, we're not going to be together anymore. This is how you're going to live. This is where you're going to live. For us, it was like, boom, explosion. Authorities got involved and it was, you go here, you go. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It was,
okay.
It
was an immediate, immediate break. It wasn't, there was no build up to it and no gentle accompanying of the children. Like they were just like, whoa, atom bomb, mom and dad are no longer together, period.
There you go.
Plus police and all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
Good in quotation marks, very sarcastically.
Yeah. So that's how it was. So I think in the beginning, I was also grieving, going through my own process of, whoa, what's happening? What am I going to do? And lucky for us, my parents still, like they had their home at the time, they live in a big home. So they were like, you guys can move in with us. You guys could take the basement, whatever. And, you know, rearrange everything, get comfortable and stay here. So that's something that helped me tremendously.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would have been even worse.
Yeah.
Right. So having their support, you know, and that's when you realize how important family is, because just having my mother cook meals, my mind was not ready for that.
Right.
I was like going through my own like emotional breakup, and I was broken realizing what I had been going through, what was happening. I wasn't even, I mean, I was there for them, but I like to say, it's funny because, and I'm jumping around here, but it just flashed. My daughter told me, and this really, really hit me. She said, it's funny because I feel like I got to know you more after the separation. She goes, it's almost as if while, like in the beginning, you were more on autopilot.
Okay.
Like you were our mom, you were there, but you were kind of like execution mode.
Right.
Right. I was working. I was doing our thing. I was with the father. I was trying to, because we were going through a lot, I think, behind the scenes that wasn't open. Most of the world didn't know.
Yeah.
So I was probably in maybe some sort of cover up mode. I wasn't fully myself.
Yeah.
And she, as the child, noticed it when she saw the real me afterwards.
Wow.
And that's when I think our real or the relationship became different.
Right.
Hence why they are so open with me, and they can be very blunt and tell me this is that, that is not it. Like we speak very openly about things.
So So at what when you decided to have that conversation with them about the breakup and everything, like, how did that conversation go? And yeah.
Well, first they witnessed because they were there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it was more of a, I don't remember the first conversation. I just know that it was an ongoing conversation, constantly referring back to it because there was constant changes. Oh, now we have to do this like that. Or at the same time, I also had court cases to go to, facing different changes. Their father also going through what he was going through, then having to figure out, okay, because he didn't move out right away, right? He was there for a while. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, we were not speaking at all, obviously, restraining orders, all those things. Mm-hmm. So, and supervised visits, things like that. This is not something that he took too well either. He was like, you know, how dare you put me through that whole scenario of, you know, I've never heard my children, et cetera, et cetera. But I was sort of following what the system was recommending at that point because it was out of my hand.
Yeah.
Right. Once the authorities get involved, it's either you follow suit or you're also going to be looked at as, are you the mom protecting your children? Or are you protecting your ex? Like, where do you stand in this situation? They're going to want to know how you're handling it. So I was following the system. So supervised visits, things of that nature. I also wanted to get, knowing that I'm not the kind of person who's going to play around with access to the children, but I felt at that time that he would. Okay. That was my honest feeling. I really felt that he would because he was in a different zone than he is at now.
Okay.
I didn't want to have to get his permission to go travel to the States with my children. I didn't want to have to wait on him. I felt like he wasn't in a stable place and in a mature place to, you know, let us live as we wanted, right?
Right.
And still, I didn't mind giving him access as long as I knew that he was fine. Mm-hmm. So we went through all those different changes, but I constantly had to go back to the children and have conversations with them and sort of explaining without explaining too much also. And also trying not to be biased, because when you're being biased and you're being, and this is something my mother told me very early on, like she would never allow, for anyone to speak ill of the father in front of the children. Never, ever, ever. Just, you can say what you want when he's not there, if you're talking to your friends, but never in front of the children, because this is a direct hit to them.
Yeah.
Plus they're not, and they love their father. So why would you do that? So this is something that I never did. I slipped once and automatically the next day I went back and I apologized and I told him, look, forget it. Forget everything I said. I said one word and I said, no. That's not true. That's me. Your father is great. He loves you. I had an issue with him. It has to do with him and I. It has nothing to do with you. It doesn't take away a second, a drop of love that he has for you guys.
Right.
And I could tell they were really happy. Like, it comforted them when I said that. So that was a clear sign that
it's you interesting.
Don't play around with those things.
No, it's interesting because that is something that concerns me when I see, because I see friends going through breakups and I see people talking around their children, and like, it's, I think people underestimate how much children are sponges. And even your nonverbal, they read that and they absorb that and they will give that right back to you. Like when you're talking about your child who is willing to call you out, I'm sure that they've seen you either call out someone for something that they did to you, and they've, like, it's a part of who they are. So they've absorbed that, and they're like, I like that, so I'm going to use that later on.
Mm.
For better or for worse, you know, sometimes, sometimes, you know, when we see our children have these attitudes, and then we're just like, wait a minute. And then you realize that, oh, that attitude is actually my attitude. They're reflected back at me. Thank you for sharing that anecdote. It's not often that we get to hear these stories. And this is why I want to speak to different mothers throughout this whole month. Because I feel like there's an idealized this is an idealized way of viewing motherhood, and this is an idealized way of viewing fatherhood, and that's not the reality. You know, like, the reality is everybody's different. We can't, and we need to adapt. We need to, as adults, adapt, just like our children are adapting to COVID-19 and living different lives. What is a lesson that you've taken from, you know, having been with this person for 10 years? Because from 19 to 29, it's a decade of your life, two children, to becoming a single mom, and now, like, they're grown, they're 18 and 15. What is a lesson that you've learned throughout this whole process?
I think one of the main lessons that I learned, and it came from a conversation I had with one of my cousins, immediately after the breakup. So we've already moved into my parents' home. And she calls me because she heard about the situation. Like, it went around the whole family, friends.
Right.
So I pick up the call and she's like, oh, you know, and she's a bit older than me, but she's very wise. It was her and my sister, two lessons that I learned around the same topic. And she said, I understand. Like, she goes, I heard what you went through. She goes, it must be difficult. And she goes, I'm sure you still love this man, because I mean, yesterday you guys were in love, you were still together, so today, even though we did this, she goes, I'm sure you still have feelings for this man, but don't feel bad about it, you know, don't beat yourself up for still having those feelings. Right. It comes with. But then she said, you know, every situation that you go through in life, you also play a part in.
Wow.
She goes, I think that was a hit, right? But she said, I think it's good for you to sit with yourself whenever you're ready and ask yourself, how come you accepted to be in that situation? Right. What was it inside of you that made you allow this to go on?
Right.
And that was a very important question. And I know that this is something that most people wouldn't want to hear, because most people, you know, when you just got hurt, you're expecting people to give you hugs and be like, oh, he's the bad guy. He did this, he did that, he done that.
Right.
But why were you like, why did you accept it? Like, and like I said, in the video I made about this, this wasn't, you know, the movie Jamais sans ma fille, Never Without My Daughter, where you have a mother who marries this man. They moved to the Middle East in his country. Mm-hmm. He starts beating on her, you know, takes her passport. You know, she basically has no resources. She's really a victim. I was not in that situation.
Right.
I could have picked up the phone and called 25 people. You know what I mean? The second the first thing happened. So I was there because, yes, there's manipulation, there's all those things, but it all comes with the why did you stay? I allowed also for this to happen. So it kind of put me out of the victim zone, and it gave me a look at myself. Wow. You know, it doesn't mean he didn't do it. He did what he did. That's on him. But what is on me is to protect myself also, is to make sure that I'm in a good environment. So this sort of lack of self-love, it was something to look into. So when she said that to me, I didn't take it the wrong way, because it hit me right away and I knew. And the thing that my sister told me before, so when me and the father were still together, she goes, she spoke to me on the phone, and my sister's always talking in very like pieces. It's almost like she's on a different cloud, right?
Yeah. Like speaking in circles, kind of, without like touching the point.
Code language almost.
Right.
She said this. She goes, it's very funny. She said, well, you know, she goes, sometimes you go through events in life and you lose yourself.
Mm.
Eventually, you'll get back to your original self.
Yeah.
That's all she said. But when she said that, I was like, oh, snap, she knows. Like, she knows about this whole domestic. Because that was before the issue. When she told me that, I knew that she knew. Because in the relationship, it was starting to, things were starting to get out of hand a little bit before the big explosion. It was weird. Things were getting like,
It's just like an earthquake. There are tremors. There are tremors exactly. before. Like, there's always a little bit of a warning before the earthquake actually happens.
There you go. Wow. There you go. So when I got those two comments, I knew that I had, number one, lost myself based on what my sister was telling me and based on how I was feeling as well. Mm-hmm. I was in something I shouldn't have been in, right? Because I was always known in the family for being this outspoken, strong, funny type, laid back, you know, woman. And all of a sudden I became this, like, exactly.
Right.
Mm. And so that was really like a big hit. So a big wake up call.
Wow. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Sarah Bey about motherhood, about being a single parent, that whole experience. We do have to take a quick break because we got to pay some bills and play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Knows who they are, not afraid, and that's a fact. And yes, I said it, conceal what they're dressing, and whenever I feel it, it will be a blessing. Ain't personal, it's not you. Doesn't need you to tell her what to do. Go show your life. Is what's gonna keep you in the line, yeah.
Yes, 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 we're back for the final time this evening, as you all know, those regular listeners. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is our guest this evening is another guest as part of our celebration of Black Mothers, Sarah Bey. Formerly known as 500 SL, then Sarah Chaline, Mean Machine, built her identity over the years, but it wasn't until 2017 that she adopted the name Sarah. She spent a lot of time indulging in hip-hop, starting repeating the lyrics of others and then creating her own lyrics. Then she launched into radio with CISM 89.3, Mesure Drastique with DJ Drastic and Snoza, hosted shows, began her first 12-song album with production company Radisson in 1999. Became a mom a few years later, and the rest is history. She's currently a YouTuber on Pillow Talk with Sarah Bey. You can find her on YouTube. Sarah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so
thank
much
you for having me.
Sharing, being very open with you know, the fact that you have experienced domestic violence, the fact that, you know, you overcome it, and the fact that you're able to do introspection and accept your responsibility in part of what happened. Mm. It's like when we think about the truth, right? The truth is never absolute. Mm. The truth is always three perspectives. Your perspective, the other person on the underside, and what actually happened. And what actually happened is almost never ever provable. Because even if someone else is watching, the only thing that can prove anything is if a camera is there, a la Rodney King style. Yeah. And even that, like, I remember back in the 90s, you know, they used the video of what was happening to Rodney King to disprove, to show that, oh, well, actually, the police weren't doing what you think they're doing in the video. So even videos are not even the truth. But crazy. I really appreciate that you're open and you're willing to talk about, because especially in our community, the Black community, the Haitian community, to speak openly about, you know, domestic violence, anything of that nature, anything that would come and reflect negatively back on ourselves or back on the other parent, is like, oh no, il faut pas parler de ça, and it's like, I think we need to break that cycle, and I appreciate that you've broken that cycle.
It's important, and I think the more people speak up about things, and not necessarily speak to put the blame on somebody else, just sharing your truth, your perspective, what happened, your facts. I think it's important, and it frees you. And I think the more people do it, the more they'll realize you're not carrying this load, which is damaging, causing damage on the inside. You're not there to just flatter your ego. You're just sharing a story. That's all it is. And you're able to put it behind you as just a story and detach, deal with the emotions involved. But if you just speak your story, you tell your story, it becomes less emotional. The stress is not kept bottled up inside. And
it's less burdensome.
Yeah.
Because I find that when you carry a secret, that secret becomes heavy over time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we have mental health issues. Like, I speak very openly about the fact that I was molested when I was a kid. And I remember when I told my parents about it, and I told my parents like years apart because I felt very uncomfortable telling my father about it. I felt free. Like when I finally told my father about it, I just was like, oh, I don't have to carry that monkey on my back anymore. And it wasn't particularly scarring or damaging, but it did have an impact on me, you know. And even speaking my truth about my situation with my child, like you provided a platform for me to speak extremely openly about it. And then I was like telling people the truth of my experience as much as possible. And I've feel free. Like, I feel like I can breathe. So I'm totally on that side of things where I'm like, yo, if you got a secret, man, share that secret, because you're going to feel so much better at the end of the day. But people like to hold on to fear. Fear is such a comfortable place for people, I find. And I find that to be very sad, because
absolutely
happiness, joy, and love is like 10 times better. I'm laughing more now than I've laughed in so many years. Like, I'm having amazing conversations. Why wouldn't I want to laugh? And why wouldn't I want to be happier and just be freer, you know? So I appreciate that you're sharing your story. Sorry, what did you say?
For sure. Love is also acceptance. It's like when you accept yourself, you accept others, what they went through. You know, you try as much as possible not to judge, because we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, right? So, and everybody's dealing with issues. Everybody has a secret. Everybody has something that they're not proud of.
Yeah.
So when we all share and you keep that in mind, you don't put yourself above others and think, oh, I didn't do that, I'm better than you. You didn't do that, but you did something else.
Yeah.
So, you know. We heal.
Yeah. So it's coming to the end of the show. Please, you know, like I really enjoy your pillow talks, and I love your TikToks. You have
thank you.
I don't know if she's Italian, but she looks Italian. She sounds Italian to me. You have your Italian character that I'm just like, I roll my eyes every time. And I laugh.
The narcissist Botox lady.
You need to give her a name. Give her a name, and that'll be one of your characters. Please tell people how they can get in touch with you. Tell us a bit more about Pillow Talk, because we didn't get to talk about that as well.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok as Sorrel Bay. And on YouTube, Pillow Talk with Sorrel Bay. And the concept of the Pillow Talk is actually, we didn't talk about it, but I kind of mentioned it. I shared my views on how I see the world is basically we are our own scientific experiment, right? Mm-hmm. So you have your views, you have your perspective based on how you grew up, you know, what you've learned, what you went through, how you deal with your emotions and stuff like that, how you navigate through life. So I think that sometimes if we sit together and we talk and we exchange perspectives, we understand each other better.
Yeah.
Always with, you know, keeping in mind that we don't have to agree, but I have to accept that your perspective is your perspective.
And it's valid.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen, at Sorrel Bay. So Sarelbey, not Bae. B-E-Y. You can find her on TikTok, Instagram, and of course Pillow Talk with Sorrel Bay. We are done for the evening. So thank you very much for tuning in. We're here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. If you just tuned in and you want to hear the rest of the show at 8:31, you can just go to our archives. So go to ckut.ca, click on Programming and Archives, and you'll find the show will be up at 8:31. And you can listen to all our older shows. You can find us at SoulPCKUT on Twitter and on Instagram. And my name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3.
Back in the old school days, we used to have joints like this, and you'd be up in the club dancing like your moms and your pops. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. So we gonna flip it like this. Before you take me out, let's have a conversation. No touchy-touchy, cause it might lead to having relations. Let's get to the point, boy, no abbreviations. Don't wanna give it up too quick, I wanna build up anticipation.
Outbreak of COVID-19 has affected all our lives in various ways, and it has notably drawn our attention to the intensified systemic racism and selective xenophobia towards our racialized friends in our Canadian society. It is understandable for each of us to feel anxious about this fatal disease. However, the sentiment of fear does not give us the right or the opportunity to conduct hate crime and to discriminate against our Asians, Blacks, Indigenous, and other racialized friends. It is not okay to associate the COVID-19 disease with Asians, particularly those of Chinese descent. It is not okay to conduct physical and psychological abuses towards racialized individuals. It is not okay to vandalize Asians and other marginalized owned businesses. We must stop normalizing and stop accepting racist conducts and hate speeches towards all racialized.
Hey, this is Roxanne Shante, and of course you know I am listening to CKUT 90.3.
The rhymes you're about to hear me recite are dedicated to all of those that bite.
Black Rose Books invites you to our book launch event. Confronting Canada's Past and Europe's Forgotten Revolutions.
Happening on Sunday, May 22nd, featuring the authors and editors of
Stand on Guard for Whom?
The Fire That Time.
Insatiable Hunger.
The Forgotten Revolution.
And Black Ukraine Yesterday and Today.
Join us on livestream or in person at 2 p.m.
at the Cité des Hospitalières, 251 Pine West, Corner Park.
Free tickets are available at blackroselaunch.eventbrite.ca or visit blackrosebooks.com for more information.
This event is co-presented with the Cité des Hospitalières en Transition and CKUT-FM.
CKUT, CKUT 90.3 FM. We'll be right back.
Dar ne place ce face.
Simple jocuri, nici măcar nu vorbim. De ce să vorbim când deja ne simțim?
Jocuri, tu și cu mine, facem un rău care ne face bine.
Și nici legea firii nu poate să pună că tu și iubire.
Jocuri, nici măcar nu se țină. Și cine-i de vină, nici nu mai contează.
Jocuri,
că mintea e plină și ochii sunt goi, nici nu mai luminează.
Jocuri,
avem doza în inimă, să ne jucăm inimă, mai mult nu se poate.
Jocuri,
am zis că te las eu deoparte, dar mi-e clar nu se poate.
Faci tu ce face, îmi place mie.
Pe la Mexico, traído, fresh and killer la Milano. Cum de m-a prins, cum m-a convins să-i fac cadouri, vacanțe de vis. Țoale e șarfe și harfe de mis. O fi de la vrăjeală sau fundul la jeans. Ăsta-i drogul meu și cred că nu mai pot să scap. Am antecedente, mă simt super slab. Domnișoară, spune-mi ce mi-ai pus în ceai. Sau în supă, după că mă simt prea high. Ai to me, dei, dei, știi. Să mă fac să mă întorc orice-ar fi. Să-mi pierd controlul și noapte și zi. Și jur m-aș opri, dar
faci tu ce faci, îmi place mie. Ai tu ceva de nu-ți rețis. Tu ești și rău, dar ești și bine. Ești drogul meu. Cel mai dulce compromis. Droguri, droguri, droguri. Încerc să mă las de tine de ceva timp. Că tu nu schimbi nimic, în schimb vrei numai să mă schimb. Și mă plimb prin toate tripurile care-mi strică filmul. Eu cobor la prima, babe, coboară tu la primul. Cândva nu mă săturam de prezența ta. Dar parcă nu mai e la fel și mi-o dă altcumva. Nu mai am același hai, nici când aud te iubesc. Probabil asta pățești când îl folosești prea des. Faci tu ce faci, îmi place mie.
facem compromis.
Mi-ai făcut farmece, sunt blestemat. Ce mă fac dacă atunci când pleci eu mă simt cel puțin ciudat? Mi-ai oprit inima în piept, nu știe nimeni, ne vedem în secret. Știu că mă minți, nu e corect. Nu mi-a plăcut niciodată să te aștept. Dacă mă cunoșteai, știai. Și dacă mă iubeai, veneai. În seara aia când ți-am scris că mi-ai apărut în vis. Dacă mă cunoșteai, știai. Și dacă mă iubeai, veneai. În seara aia când ți-am scris că fără tine nu exist.
Asta nu-s fire de poveste. De ce sunt un om de noi doi? Ceva ce nu se povestește. Nu ne privește decât pe noi. Noi ne vom iubi, ne vom aminti când se va sfârși.
Noi doi.
mesaje pe ascuns, îmi vorbești de sus, de parcă mă ierți. Când eu ar trebui pe tine să te iert, nu tu să mă cerți. Discutăm, ne aprindem ca licurici, ne certăm din simple caprici. Fata lui tata nu știe sacrificii, pentru mine ca o mie de vici, yeah. Că dacă ne iubeam pe bune, acum nu ne ascundeam de lume. Și când bărbat trebuie să-și asume, și când îl faci bucăți, singur să se adune. Universul să zică ce vrea, ți-e mai bine cu el, mie cu ea. Între noi n-a fost să fie, poate în altă viață, cine știe.
Asta nu-s fire de poveste, e ce se întâmplă între noi doi. Ceva ce nu se povestește, nu ne privește decât pe noi. Noi ne vom iubi, ne vom aminti când se va sfârși. Asta nu-s fire de poveste, e ce se întâmplă între noi.
S-a născut oamenii răi și vorbele-n vânt. Să nu mă las niciodată înfrânt, ca sufletul și inima nu se vând. Da, tată, te aud și acum, să stau o viață drept, să fiu un om bun. Că timpul trece și în urmă rămân doar lacrimi și fum. N-aș mai trăi de o mie de ori amintiri. Hei, mamă, uite-mă, tată, vreau să trăiesc încă o dată. Toți anii să-i aduc înapoi. Ascunse toate într-un balon de săpun. Aș vrea să iam aici și să nu-i mai las. Să-ntorc toți anii ăștia ca pe un ceas. Și câteodată așa mi-e de dor să mă strângă iar în brațele lor. Doamne, fă cumva și am tot ce vrei, pentru o secundă tu adu-mi pe ei.
Amintiri n-am să le uit niciodată. N-aș mai trăi de o mie de ori amintiri. Hei, mamă, uite-mă, tată, vreau să trăiesc încă o dată. Toți anii să-i aduc înapoi.
Eu te doream atât de mult. eu te doream atât de mult și te visam. Te sărutam cu ochii lăgrimați, în lumina lunii noaptea ne iubeam și răsăritul ne găsea îmbrățișat. Te iubesc și acum ca prima zi, te iubesc și aș vrea să fim din nou ca doi copii. E ziua ta, iubito, și tarde ziua ta, te-aș da și azi din viața mea.
și juice. Football's in the house. Deci am pierdut tot când am plecat. Nici soarele nu-i pe cer. Și n-am să mă mai trezesc ca să-ți pot zâmbi. Te pup, papa. Seară o facem la de iar. Și că până dimineață toată lumea e sus pe par. Unii au luat-o un pic cam slow motion. Grav și o chestiune de minute până toți ceilalți cad prof. Gărgăriță, riță, te rog fă-mi pe plac. Vreau o poieniță, lasă-mă s-o fac. Mâine scând o serenadă și te iau la val. Știi că-i sticla de pălincă dacă vezi că încep să cânt fal. Boxele astea nu tac. Rog vecinii să mă ierte că nu știu prea bine ce fac. Băieții pe jos, iar fetele pe val. Toată lumea e cu mâinile în aer. Băi, cred că așa e normal. Gărgăriță, riță, te rog fă-mi pe plac. Ca o poieniță, lasă-mă s-o fac. Mâine scând o serenadă și te iau la val. Sticla de palincă m-a făcut să scând fal. La 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 la.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM. Broadcasting, of course, from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I'm your host for the next couple of hours, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, playing for you some of my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. To get tonight's program started off, here is Guitar Slim playing Later For You Baby. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.
Later for you, baby. I heard my train with a blow. Later for you, baby. I heard my train with a blow. You won't begin to miss me until my train pulls out and go. I got married to you, baby, when you was out away from home. I got married to you, baby, when you was out away from home. When you got ready to quit me and then sued me for alimony, you would even mend my socks and you would never bake no bread. Even in my socks, dear, and you would never bake no bread. You treated me so bad, dear, I nearly wished that I was dead.